out ever your love for us, because it has been displayed in such amazing and extraordinary ways. Father, this Christmas story we all know so well, we sometimes, if we're not careful, Lord, we yawn at it because we've heard it so often. But God, I pray it would come alive, fresh and new to us as we think about you being the light of the world. God, these songs we sing are to you and about you, and they remind us of the truth, the ultimate truth, that you love us deeply enough to do something about our greatest need. And our greatest need was for a Savior. Someone who could understand us, someone who could come and be Emmanuel, God with us, both fully God and fully man, and you sent Jesus to be that one. And we know you love us. God, may we sense that love and we feel that love. Maybe for some in the building this morning, they need to feel it more than ever before in their lives. Some facing a great Christmas, others facing a challenging Christmas. A first and without a loved one. Sometimes holidays are tough for folks. So God, I pray that they would hear the truth of Christmas, that you have come near, that you are God with us. God, would you speak to us these few moments we spend looking at the life of Joseph? And may we be like him and be men and women of great courage. Thank you, Lord, again for your love. Speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You can extinguish that candle if you haven't already. There's some teenagers going to come by and grab those. You'll pass those to the aisle just so we don't have wax all over creation. It'll be fantastic. Thank you, choir. Thank you, praise team and worship team, for leading us. A lot of preparation goes into today. And I'm grateful for each of them as we go by and softly dump those candles in there. Going to sound like a bulldozer one. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you take and turn to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, we'll look together at some incredible words of Scripture, those we've heard before, and also going into look into chapter 2 as well, and talk about courage at Christmas. By the way, as you're kind of thinking about our series, we're in this series, by the way, many of you know, Men of Courage, talking about men and women of courage. Our illustration has been that of NASA, right? Remember those that are going to the moon, right? Going to the moon, the incredible courage it had to have taken to get on a rocket that, I mean, you're talking about a nuclear bomb you're sitting on top of, going all the way to the moon, going to a place that nobody had ever been before, to a place that no guarantee that they would come back and be alive if they even survived. These were men of courage. And so we've been looking over the last several months together, even though the last year, about the courage in the early church, in particular John and Peter and those early disciples that were following Christ with incredible courage. So this morning, though, we want to stop and just kind of take a time out, at least from the part of the early church, and jump back to the life of Joseph. Now, I don't know about you, but many times Joseph feels like Father's Day. It's kind of the afterthought holiday, you know? Poor old Joseph, we know all about Mary. Of course, we know about Jesus, and he should be the central theme of Christmas. We know all about the shepherds. We know all about the wise men. But we hardly ever talk about good old Joseph. And yet we find in Scripture, we don't know a lot about Joseph, but the few things we know, we find this was a great man of courage. Not perfect any more than Mary was not perfect, but a man of great courage nonetheless. And we're talking about five things this morning as we wrap up our service this morning about being a person of courage. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, the familiar story we know well. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, key word there, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, and he's quoting here from Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Would you flip over to chapter 2, verse 13 quickly? Let me read these to you. Important second part of the story. Jesus has been born, the wise men had come. And now when they had departed, the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared in Joseph in a dream again, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. You see the prophecies here, the promises of God. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod was dead, and the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the child and the mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, again, the fourth time, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, that he should be called a Nazarene. Incredible story. Joseph. Most commentators believe that we don't know any more about Joseph than after the time. We only hear about Joseph one more time, and that is when Joseph and Mary take Jesus at 12 years old to the temple in that time of sacrifice to Jerusalem. After that, we hear nothing else about Joseph. Most biblical commentators, again, believe that Joseph died somewhere before Jesus' ministry began, or maybe sometime when he was a teenager. We don't know exactly, but we know for certain by the time the crucifixion had come that Joseph was no longer alive, because you remember Jesus looked at John and said, "John, behold your mother." And to Mary, he said, "Behold your son John." In other words, "John, you are to take care of her. She is now a part of your family." This is a significant moment. Joseph was a man who was simple, who was humble, who was unassuming, who basically blends into the shadows of history. We know very little about him. But we know he was a man of courage. And really the question to ask us is this. We think about this Christmas story, that God had chosen Joseph for an extraordinary task that required extraordinary courage. So the question that I would ask you and I this morning is this. Can God choose us to do an extraordinary task, and will we be people who display extraordinary courage? You see, this story is not just some story we read about at Christmas, and we think, "Wow, that's really cool, that's awesome," and we talk about Jesus and the virgin birth, and all that is incredibly significant, for without that, we have no hope and no Savior. But we need to think about, what does the rest of the story mean to me? How does it apply to my life? And so I would ask you, where in your life do you need to display courage? Where is God calling you to do something that is extraordinary? And by the way, we think extraordinary. We think some massive, humongous thing that involves thousands of millions of people. Maybe God's extraordinary task for you is to go to the cubicle beside you this year, in the year 2016, or maybe you'll do it before the year is out, and share the gospel with somebody. That'll take great courage. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's to go on a mission trip next year. Maybe it's to lead a ministry. Maybe it's for God's got a call in your life, teenager, that blows your mind. You think, "God, there's no way." But if God's calling you, then you and I need to be people of courage. Now notice this, what it says. Five things. Number one, courage develops in crises and in difficult decisions. Courage, by and large, rarely is it ever developed when everything is going really smoothly. When life is going like we planned, when everything looks like it's going like we thought it would go, or like we hoped it would go, or like we thought it might should go, it requires very little courage to do those things, to live the everyday life that we're called to live. Now, sometimes there is courage in that because it's in the simple. Sometimes we get lost. We get in the mundane, we get complacent, so certainly there is courage. But overall, when God develops the most courage inside of us is when we're faced with moments that are hard, that are difficult, that are defeating, that maybe depressing, maybe are out there that seems so wild and outlandish, and we think, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, that's exactly what God calls Joseph to do. You and I are guaranteed to have those kinds of times, excuse me, where we are tested and we are tried. And it is in those moments that we become men and women of courage. I asked a police officer friend of mine, I know we got some here in the building today, and he was on a SWAT team. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, we watch movies and we see things, and you know, I thought about it years ago, man, I'd love to do that, but then when I really start thinking about it and I take my macho self off that I think I really am, if I'm going in, it's different when you got a cap gun or a BB gun, and you're going into a building, and some of you have done this in this room, and you pull a bulletproof vest on, and some of you have done it as soldiers with a helmet on, they're shooting real bullets. And I asked him, I said this question, because he's one of these guys, he's this macho guy, and he whiffs weights, and he's a state trooper, you know, kind of guy. And I'm like, and it wasn't Brad Bird, it's another state, by the way, but it's like Brad Bird, big macho guy, just like Brad Bird, right? We talked about that earlier. And so I said, I need to know something for my own sad little pitiful self. He said, what? I said, I just need to know, are you ever afraid, and does your heart beat a million miles a minute when you go into that room, whether you got a gun or you got that shield or not, are you scared? And I was really expecting this answer. Well, of course I'm not. I do it all the time. It's no big deal. He looked at me. He said, Brad, I'll be honest with you. If you're not scared, your heart's not beating. He said, you better believe I'm scared. He said, but I'm well trained and prepared. And really, sometimes we've done it so many times that you don't even think about what you're doing. He said, but the moment that you're not scared is the moment you're in the most danger. Whew. I felt better about myself. I thought, I don't think these guys are ever afraid of anything. There was a definition given of courage that said this: courage is not the absence of fear, but acting in spite of it. That is courage. And so courage is not something that really that I develop inside of me. It is something that God does inside of me. And so for some of you, you need to develop courage. And so if God's going to develop courage, then guess what he's going to do in your life? He's going to put you in some situations that will require great courage that perhaps you think, I don't have right now. That's okay. I don't think Joseph had a lot of it to start with either. But is it God called him and God confirmed his call? Then Joseph said, I will step out. And as he stepped out, God gave him great courage. Courage. What does our world need today? It needs, in particular, men of great courage. Our families are under assault. Our culture is under assault like never before. And we need men to be men of courage. Notice the second thing Joseph does quickly. Courage is willing to do the right thing no matter the cost. Courage is willing to do the right thing no matter what the cost is. Folks, just stop and think just quickly about Joseph for a moment. How brokenhearted Joseph must have been. How afraid maybe he was that all the guys were going to talk about him in the locker room, or all the ladies were going to talk about Mary in the beauty salon. Everybody's going to be talking about Mary because she had gotten pregnant. Now see, remember, if you don't know anything about Jewish marriage, just quickly, Jewish marriage, there was a time that all the marriages were arranged. A father would go to a family that would arrange. He'd pay a dowry for the daughter. Everything was worked out. And then there was a year process where they were called engaged. This is where Mary and Joseph were at this point. They were lived apart a year. They were considered husband and wife. They were considered legally married for all intents and purposes, but they didn't live together, nor was there intimacy between the two until the year was up. And then they had the marriage ceremony. And so here's Joseph, who obviously falls in love with Mary, deeply in love with her. We can tell by his actions later that is the case. And he thinks to himself, I've got to do the right thing here. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I'm going to do the right thing. The Bible says Joseph was a righteous man. And so what does he do? He thinks to himself, because the law required him, by the way, it required him to report her and divorce her. Or even worse, he could have had her stoned to death for adultery, because Joseph had not slept with Mary. But yet he says he wanted to put her away quietly. He didn't want to do the righteous thing, not the easy thing, not the popular thing, not even what the law required. He wanted to do it the right way, no matter what the cost was to him. You have to know that Joseph was brokenhearted. Man, can you imagine? You had gotten engaged to your bride, and 3 months before you get married, she gets pregnant with somebody else's child. Let's just be realistic here. And yet Joseph was willing to do the righteous thing. Now notice, we'll talk about this in just a moment, but not always is the righteous thing the right thing. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Courage willing to do what is right, no matter what the cost. And by the way, to follow God and do what is right in our culture, students, listen to me carefully. Students, to do what is right will take courage. A lot of times we see students, they don't display courage. You know why? Because they're just like everybody else. But it takes great courage to do what is right, to do what is moral, to do what is pure. Moms and dads, it takes courage to raise your children when everybody else is not doing what you're doing. It takes courage. The third thing we notice, courage puts others first. Well, haven't we seen correct courage on the battlefield? We see men and women receiving all kinds of medals of valor and honor. Men in particular in some of these special units jumping on mines, jumping on people that were going to explode on the people. We see incredible displays of courage. What is that? It's putting others first before yourself, which is exactly what Joseph did. He put Mary first. How does he do it? He decides, he listens to what God calls him to do, and he goes ahead and marries her. Joseph believed what the angel said. He believed what Mary told him. We're not told the conversation between the two, but we know there had to have been some conversation between the two of them. And Joseph wanted to believe it, but he just couldn't believe it. But after the confirmation of the dream, it comes to the ears of Joseph, and God speaks to him. He goes, all right, I will do the right thing. To love her, to protect her, to provide for her. Notice, to keep her pure until Jesus was born. You know, let's just be realistic, men. They got married, and for 9 more months, he took a lot of cold showers. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. Men are going to amen that for sure. It's okay. It's not doing sacrilege. I just want to be truthful here a minute. It costs. It takes courage to put others first. Because our flesh tells us to put ourselves first. Our needs, our wants, our desires. Our culture definitely tells you to do that. But Joseph was a righteous man wanting to do the right thing, to be obedient to God. And so he shows great courage. So that there will be no question in history that this was not Joseph's child. This was of the Holy Spirit of God. Powerful words. And by the way, we know that later on they did consummate their marriage. Some would claim that Mary was a perpetual virgin. We find that nowhere in Scripture. In fact, we find later on in Matthew where it lists Jesus' brothers and sisters. We find that to be the truth. Joseph, willing to put others first. Notice these last two quickly. Courage listens intently to the voice of God and then responds in great faith. Courage listens intently to the voice of God and then responds in great faith. Two things about this. Number one, I have to be a person who listens to the voice of God. Boy, here's a great question to ask each and every one of us. Are we in a place right now where God can speak to us and we would hear? If we have unconfessed sin and we're living in sin, God will not speak and we will not hear it. If there's a place that God's called us to be obedient and we've not done it, we're going to have a difficult time hearing God. If we're not reading God's word, we're going to have a difficult time about hearing God. If we're not connected in the worship and the small group Bible study, we're going to have a very difficult time hearing God. The more places we put ourselves in to hear the voice of God, the easier it will be to hear His voice. But the Bible tells us many times when God speaks, it is in a still, small voice. Our problem is in our culture. Our culture is never still, nor is it quiet. And yet, if I'm going to be a man and a woman of courage, I have to learn, and boy, do I have a long way to go, ask my wife She'll tell you, I'm a terrible listener sometimes. I'm too busy flapping the old gums, trying to solve the problem before she ever finishes the sentence. Would you just be quiet and listen, she says. Sometimes God wants to speak to us, and I think he yells at us sometimes, if you would just be quiet long enough, I'll tell you what I want you to do. But notice, Joseph listens. He hears God's four times in a dream, four times in an angel. Now some of you are going, well, if God appeared to me with an angel, I would hear it too. Well, I think that's a little bit fair. But I think Joseph would look at us and say, well, if I had the complete revelation and word of God, I would hear God speaking too. People all the time will say, well, God doesn't speak anymore. God doesn't speak. Oh, no, no. He has spoken loudly and clearly in 66 books of the Bible, God's love letter to you and to me. It addresses everything that we'll ever face in our lives and give us direction and guidance and answers on how we are to live our lives. So we listen to the voice of God, knowing through His Word, through the Holy Spirit of God, who speaks to inside of our hearts, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. And then, notice, we respond in great faith. Meaning, I don't have all the answers that I want. I don't know all the things I need to know. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to go and do this, or do that, or go there, whatever it may be. I can think of circumstances in my life where I probably moved too slowly because I wasn't hearing the voice of God, or God was speaking and I was too scared to move. AKA Petal, Mississippi, quite recently. I didn't have all the answers. I didn't know where things were going to happen or how it was going to happen. I didn't know. And so you know what I did? I said, well, can you give me a little longer? And I called him back a little later, and I said, can you give me a little longer? And I kept getting Chris Rhodes' blood pressure higher and higher and higher. I need a little more time. You know what I needed to be? I needed to be a man of courage. So this preacher's got a long way to go to be a man of courage. But I'm going to listen, and then when God calls me to go, I am called to step out in faith that God will do exactly what He said He would do in my life. Which leads us to the last point. Courage is trusting in God's promises. Let me back up before I finish this last point, and we're done this morning. Let me back up just for a moment. Let's talk about that right decision for a minute. Because some of you heard me say, the righteous thing isn't always the right thing. Let me back up for just a moment. Joseph was headed towards a righteous decision, and we should always be people who have the courage to do the righteous thing, no matter what the cost. But in this case, God speaks directly to Joseph and says, though it is the righteous thing, in this juncture, it's not the right thing. So let's be careful as we seek God's face and listen to His voice, that we're careful not only to do the righteous thing, because there are great things we can do, but we must, and let me put it in these words, we must do the best thing, the right thing God is calling us to do. There are lots of people groups we need to go to. There are lots of trips we need to take. There are lots of people we need to minister to, but we need to be constantly listening to the voice of God saying, Lord, we know what the righteous thing is, but God, show us what the right thing is for my life personally and for our church corporately. Does that make sense? The last one, courage is trusting in God's promises. No doubt Joseph had no clue what was all was happening around him. Joseph couldn't see all the prophecies and all the things that were being fulfilled in his obedience. And about, because Matthew remembers writing after the fact about him being born in Bethlehem, about the fact that there was going to be this murder of Herod killing these children. All fulfillments of God's prophecy, out of Egypt, calling my son. I mean, these are all fulfillments of God's prophecy. But Joseph did know this much. Joseph did and had read the prophecies that there was a day coming when there was going to be a Messiah, a deliverer, a redeemer of Israel and of the whole world. And Joseph believed enough with what he knew to say, God, I will take you at your word. And I will trust that your promises are true. And so maybe he claimed promises like, do not be afraid, I will be with you. Don't you walk through the waters, you won't be drowned. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Prayers like, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will fight the battle for you. He thought about these Old Testament promises. And he said, God, I will walk on them. I believe that's why he was a righteous man. So here's the question to ask us. Are we willing to be people? And what gives us great courage is the courage isn't based on who I am or what my personality is, whether I'm an outgoing person or I'm an introvert. It doesn't really matter. The only question is this. Am I willing to trust God? If He says go, then I promise me that God will provide me exactly what I need, when I need it, right on time. He'll give me what I need. Some of you that have shared testimonies before, whether on the video or right here, you'll be nervous, you'll be about to die, and over here on the side of the stage and about to vomit, and like, I can't do this, there's no way. And I said, I promise you, when you stand to speak, God will give you courage. But He won't give it to you until you get up and speak. Now, if I had a moment to argue with God, I'd say, could you just give it to me like 2 minutes before? So I wouldn't have a heart attack and a nervous breakdown before I had to do that, which you've called me to do. No, most of the time God waits for us to open our mouths and then the courage of God floods through our bodies. Now, Joseph had to take that first step and be obedient to God's call. And when he took that first step, I believe God spoke to Joseph's heart. And so the next time God spoke, Joseph listened even more closely and he responds immediately and does exactly what God called him to do. Here's the question, church, as we close. Do you have enough courage to do that which God is calling you to do? And I have no clue. Listen, I have no clue what God may be calling you to do. But I believe there's some of you sitting in these chairs right here listening to the sound of my voice whom God has called you to do something, to go somewhere, to start something, to do something you've been needing to do forever. For some of you, it's to make Christ Savior and Lord of your life. You've been putting it off. You're a teenager. You're an adult. And God says, I want to give you the courage today to walk down these aisles and say yes to Jesus. Others to join this church family. You put it off. You've been waiting. God's been speaking. Maybe it's to join a life group. Maybe it's to join a ministry. Maybe it's to start a ministry. I don't know what it is, but God's calling you. You go to Haiti, to go to Indonesia, to go somewhere, to go to North America. We open those doors to do some new ministries. We're going to start in Paddle. Whatever it might be, you just might want to say, God, I know you're calling me. I don't know what or where, but I want you to know, God, I want the courage to go and do what you called me to do. And the question is this, dear church, will you sit in that seat and make excuses and rationalize why I can't or when or what or how and I don't know and I'm not this and I don't know and just say, you know what, I'm done with that. God, I want to be a man of courage and a woman of courage whom you can use for the glory of your name. We need people like that. So the question is this, will you answer his call? Will you be like Joseph? Folks, think about it. What if Joseph had not answered God's call? Now, we know about the sovereignty of God, that God would have made it happen some other way. No question about it. God's plan will not be thwarted. No question. But let me ask this question. Look at the blessings Joseph would have missed if he'd have told God no. Look at the people's lives that could have been affected. So let me ask you this question, dear church. Listen to me carefully. Who in your world? Who in your life, who in your family, who in your job, who in your school, who in your fifth period class, if you don't have the courage to do that which God's called you to do, they may miss it. Let's don't miss the moments. God, give us the courage to do that which you've called us to do. Would you pray with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we come to a time of invitation. The absolute most crucial part of our service. Though the worship is important, it sets the stage. We have a chance to worship God. The hearing of God's word is so vitally important. But now we come to a time when we must respond to that which we have heard. And I believe God has a specific word for every single person in this room, including and starting with me. And so my question to you, as you have every head bowed and every eye closed, you're asking this question, God, where do I need to be a man or woman of courage? Where is it? What is it? How is it? Why is it? God, would you show me what that is? Would you pray that prayer right now? God, show me where I need to have courage. God, I pray for your people to have courage this morning. I know it's Christmas. We're 5 days away. Our thoughts are on a whole lot of things. But God, I pray you'd laser focus us in to this one holy, sacred moment where you're asking us the same way you asked Joseph 2,000 years ago. Will we be obedient and follow you wherever you call us to go and whatever you ask us to do. Lord, again, for some, it's to trust Christ, his Savior and Lord. What better time than at Christmas? And to say, Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? And I would be, understand, Emmanuel, God with us like never before. For others this morning, again, Lord, I need to come and join this church family. For others, I need to be praying over a lost loved one or friend. Or maybe they don't have a burden at all. They don't even know a lost person. God, they'd be praying, God, give me a lost person to share the gospel with. Maybe you'll call someone to go on a mission trip, sitting right here, somebody into ministry, to call to ministry, somebody to start a ministry. Don't even know what that is. God, give us courage to say yes to you. And I pray that we put feet to that. We don't just sit there in our pew and act unmoved and act unstirred, because sometimes our coming in obedience to you at this altar puts feet to our fire and holds us accountable. But God, in our coming, it might encourage somebody else to come. Maybe we need to pray for somebody else to our right and to our left, or somewhere across the room that needs courage. And you just need to go pray over them that God will give them courage. God, whatever you're calling us to do, I pray we'll be obedient right here and right now and not miss this moment, this sacred, holy moment, to say yes to Jesus and be a man and a woman of courage right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship together. A little town of Bethlehem.